My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty. Now don't examine it too closely. Don't examine it too closely. There's a difference between a land of liberty in theory and a land of liberty in fact. We still have liberty in fact. But we also have a lot of bondage. And that's normal. It should be no surprise, because most of us have not. The government always reflects the people. It isn't the government that makes the people. It isn't like the people are innocent and sweet and the government's crooked. It's people are crooked. People are corrupt. People are cheating. They're doing different things and so on. So don't worry about the government. The key is always the church. The key is always the church. If the church is right with God, if the church is right, the government will be fine. The reason why we have a tough government right now, it's not a good government. It's not obeying the laws. It's going outside the laws. It's coloring over the lines. It's because the church itself has done that. You think there's trouble in the government, look inside the church. The Episcopal Church falling apart, the Presbyterian Church, the Baptists are dividing again, as they always do. Those things are normal. But God's still in charge, and it isn't over yet. It's not at all finished, so the foundations aren't destroyed. It's just simply part of growing pains. Amen? And the key is not out there. It's in here. Judgment begins in the household of God, always in the household of God. God's always judging his own first. Amen? So what I want to share with you this morning is about our nation. How did our nation come about, and what was it all about, and what is it? In simple terms, what is any nation? It doesn't have to be our nation. You know, we're trying to impose democracy on Iraq. Why will that work and why will that not work? You know, how do you set people free who have been in bondage? And so it's fascinating that God cares. God, great God our King, the song saith. Great God our King. So is God the King? Is God indeed the King of the world? So we have a crown on his head. And thank you for erasing everything but God, the King. God is over here. Oh, I drew a red hand. That's got to be a blue hand. Over here is the church. This is us. Call it the bride. This is God's own property. I'm going to call it my bride, my church, my kingdom. This belongs to God. It's just personal property. So God's, I'll put this in the middle. God's personal property is like, you know, himself. When you own something and somebody steals it, it's like hurting you, injuring you. So God over here on his right hand, God has his personal property or his bride or his church. How many know there are other religions, though? They are religions that are not mine, not my religions. And Muslim and so on and so forth. Those are not God's religions, not my religion. So God has, you know, Hindus, Buddhists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of those religions in the world, and there's lots of them. And people have a right to choose what religion they want. And God doesn't want everyone to be forced to be a Christian. In fact, he doesn't want anyone to. It's free. It's a free choice. You can worship a snake. You can be a witchcraft person. You can do anything you want to do, but you're going to have to answer to God for it. And the right hand of God, in the Greek, there's a difference between theos, and thios. You notice the only difference is the little I. So theos and thios. Theos means to know God from the inside, to know him from his heart. Thios means to know him from the outside, just sort of externally. Everybody knows there's a God. Everybody knows there's a God. Even people that are atheists know there's a God. It doesn't matter what they say. They know there is a God, someone to account to. They have a conscience. They have morals. So everybody, even if they're pretending like there isn't any God that they're accountable, there is one, and they are accountable, and they know it. So all you have to do is be a reasonable person. You know that your mind tells you there's something bigger than me out there. So it doesn't save you or anything. It's just simply something everybody knows. So everybody knows God externally. That is, they know there's someone out there who's kind of holy or something like this and kind of a nice person. Or maybe he's mad. They don't really know, because this world doesn't really know that much about God's heart, his inner. But we know God from the inside because he's revealed it in the Word, through the Scriptures, through the Bible. So that's how we know God. So God has religion. And over here, this he puts in Sweet Land of Liberty. Religion is free from the state. Religion is not part of the state. So that's why we have what's called institutional separation of church and state. Now, in a lot of countries like Iran or Iraq, the church and the state are mingled. They're mixed. There's no freedom. God is the author of freedom. He's the author of all liberty. If you have any liberty, I don't care if it's political liberty or civil liberty, whatever it is, it all came from God. Everything comes from God. So God, his will, his desire is to have men free. Whether you want to be a Buddhist or a Christian, doesn't make any difference. You're free. And the government should have nothing to do with it. Now, if a government does have something to do with it, it's a bad government. So I'll make a little pyramid over here to show you what a bad government does. You know, it's a tyranny. A bad government is a tyranny, and God doesn't like tyranny. So tyranny is a no-no. No. God's not into bondage or tyranny or, you know, mixing church and state. And right now, there's a lot of people in our own country, even Christians, who want to mix the church and the state. You know, they want it to be a Christian nation. So they speak of America's a Christian nation. It's not. America's not a Christian nation, even though a lot of Christians think it is, and they want it to be Christian. You know, it's like we'll all take communion together or something. No, there are Buddhists in our country. There are Muslims in our country. There are all kinds of Jewish people in our country. It isn't a Christian country. It's a mixed country, right? Do you all understand? Now, the issue is not what you think it is or what you want it to be. The issue is, what did the founding fathers make it, and why did they make it that way? Because God, through nature, the natural law, God through nature, God made nature. That is, he made everything. And through the law of nature, you cannot mix church and state. You can't mix particular religions. Now, you can mix the idea that there's God underneath government and God over government. That's okay. Of course God is under government. If you don't build your religion on your government on religion, it probably isn't going to be a just government. It'll probably be an immoral government, like the communists tried. They tried to build a government without any religion in it. French Revolution kind of concept, kind of a Masonic order thing. Well, it doesn't work. And so they failed. After a number of years, 70 years, they just flopped. They just fell apart. So you want to keep these separate institutionally. Now, that doesn't mean you as a Christian can't be involved in both religion and in state. But this kind of government over here, which oppresses the people, forces religion on people, this is the true religion, like in Iran or Iraq today. You have to be a Muslim. If you're a Christian, keep it to yourself. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Don't set up a church. You can't set up a church in Persia. You can't set up a church, particularly in Saudi Arabia. There they force you either to go to their church or don't go at all. So you're not going to, and you have to observe all their laws, Sharia law, and so on and so forth. So the world's kind of crazy. And our founder said, let religion be free. Don't put religion, make a wall between religion and the government. Now, the government, I'll make a picture here of the government. Now, God's in the government as theos. God's in the church as theos. And he's in the government as theos. In other words, his church is a different kind of government. It's a spiritual government. Over here, everything is holy. Everything is spiritual. Everything is eternal. And so his church, not the one that calls itself his church, but the one that's truly his church, is free. But so are all other religions who might have all kinds of crazy ideas. Those religions also are free in our country. You can be anything you want. And in nature, there's always a difference between the first table of the law and the second table of the law. In other words, the first four commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and so on. All of those have to do with your duty to God. So your duty to God always precedes your duty to man. Your love to God is always before your love to the neighbor, right? You see that? It doesn't matter. You don't have to even know Moses to know that. Everybody kind of knows that. Everybody in the world, every culture that's ever been, has always said, we owe heaven the first duty. You have a conscience inside, and you owe that to God. Now, everybody in the room here, everybody has a conscience, and you know there's right and wrong. Everybody knows there's right and wrong. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to be a Buddhist. You don't have to be a Hindu. You can be anything you want to be, but you still know there's a right and a wrong. So religion is the first duty that you owe to God, whether you have the true religion like we say, but we just say it. We don't force anybody. We just say it. We're the true religion. Other people say, we're the true religion. We're not even arguing with them. We just simply make our claim and that's it. We don't take a sword and beat them up and chop them up if they don't. Now that's the way Christianity has done it in the past. Christianity would come into a pagan place and say, everyone's going to be a Christian. In fact, one of my ancestors, Charlemagne, actually just came in and said, I'm going to conquer all the European pagans and make them all Christian. Just did it with a sword. You want to be baptized or you want to die? Let's see, I think I'll be baptized. He just came in with armies and just conquered all the pagans. So that's the kind of ancestry I have, But, he's the one that created the Holy Roman Empire, Charlemagne. Charles the Great, Charlemagne, But you know what? That's not a good idea to force everybody to be a Christian. Look at Europe today. Europe today is a product of Charlemagne. It's by forcing people, it never really took. They were Christians on the outside, talk, but on the inside, they were pagans. The Europeans today are not a Christian nation anymore. They're not a Christian civilization anymore. They've thrown it away. Are you all aware of that? And now they're becoming Muslim because they not only threw away Christianity, threw away all religion. They just became hostile to religion. And so the Muslims came along and said, you seem to be lacking a God. We'll supply. And so they believe they're right, and they want to have all the freedom now to do their religion and even to force it on others when they get enough power. So we live in a crazy world today, but I want to talk about our nation, how it got founded and why it got founded, because it all got founded because people read the Bible. They heard about God's idea. So the first thing is, our nation is not a Christian nation. Not a Christian nation. It's just a nation. And it's a secular nation. Not a Christian nation. So I know we have some great leaders and high-up leaders who believe this is a Christian nation, but they're wrong. God does not want it to be a Christian nation. God wants it just to be a secular nation. The founding fathers never created a Christian nation, even though there are people that have written books on how it was, and I've read all their books. It's not. So you're not a Christian nation. You're just a secular nation. Now, there are Christians in the nation, and you're free to be a Christian in this nation, but you're also free to be a Buddhist. You're free to be Jewish. You're free to be anything you want to be. You're free to have no religion at all. But you will have some kind of fear of God, some kind of knowledge of God, some kind of piety. That's just natural. That comes from nature, that everybody knows God as theos, even though everybody doesn't know God as theos. You have to choose God because God wants voluntary. He wants people to love him voluntarily. How many know that you're not forced to come here? You're not forced to believe a certain way. You can go anywhere you want to go. You can lay in bed. You can sleep right here. It doesn't make any difference. So you have utter freedom or liberty, sweet land of liberty. So this is God's liberty land here. But not only that, everything in nature is part of liberty also. Everything is nature. For example, the individual, you, as an individual, you owe God an account someday. You'll have to give an account to him every day, and then someday in eternity, you'll have a final judgment. Now, whether you know it or not, that's just part of nature. Everybody knows that. But whether you might not know that you know that, but it's inside of you that I have a conscience, and someday I'm going to have to answer to God for my conscience. So everybody has that. Number two, family. It doesn't matter how many people that are trying to destroy the family or enslave the individual. These things are in nature, and government has no power whatsoever over this freedom. So you have freedom here of religion. You also have freedom to answer to God in your rest of your first duty, which is your moral. Everybody's rational and moral. In other words, you're born with reason. You might act unreasonably. You might be an unreasonable person. There's a lot of unreasonable people out there in the world, and sometimes it's us. Have you ever been unreasonable? You know, it's possible to be reasonable or unreasonable. But God's into reason. And so one of the things is you have to be an individual before God, and even the family can't conquer the individual. A family has no right to destroy its individuals. Like the father of the house can't just kill his kids. That's just nature. Nature just tells us that, is that an individual is sacred before God. Then the family is also sacred. And then whatever your religion is, that's also free. This is all in nature. It doesn't matter which religion you pick, but you got to pick one. Everybody has one. Even if you say you don't have one, you still have one. And then there's civil government. Now, civil government can be all kinds of things. Let's say somebody says, well, I want to live in a state of nature. You know, I just want to live a hermit in a cave and so on. Well, that's possible on a limited scale. But the truth is the world is divvied up into nations. It's divvied up, it's divided up, so that everybody lives in a country somewhere. Even if you're an Aborigine living in the outbacks of Australia, you're actually still part of a nation. So civil was always God's idea, that men would enter into civil society, where you give up your natural freedom. In nature, let's say, the law of the jungle, in nature, everybody can defend himself. You know, you're just your own law. You're your own judge. You're your own jury. You're everything. You're the executive, the legislative, judicial. It's all inside of yourself. And so that's fair enough when you're living like two Indians in the woods. That's fair enough because you've got to defend yourself. And if your government falls apart, you fall back into a state of nature. Nature is always there. So these four orders of government are part of nature. Four, no more. That's it. The individual, the family, some kind of religion, and civil. You have to get along with other people. There's no such thing that God made individuals just to live as individuals. No, you have to always be in families and in tribes, countries, you know, whatever. Now, when the founders looked at all this, they asked themselves, should we set up a monarchy? You know, we got different choices here. Should we put a king over us? And they decided no king. They decided that not only would this be a secular nation, but they would not have a king, that only God would be king. Great God, our King. Isn't that amazing that we have that little song? My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Long may your land be bright with freedom's holy light. You know, great God, our King. So the King of America is not President Bush. The King of America is God. I don't know are you aware of that? But it's not a Christian country. It's just God, the natural God, Theos. Though to us he is Theos, because we know his heart. But not everybody in America knows the heart of God. So if you're a Christian but you're immature, you're probably not much better than a pagan because you're immature. So if you're a Christian but you're not mature, you don't look like one and act like one. There's a lot of people that go to church, but they're not very mature, so you can't really tell the difference between them and pagans. They divorce, they, you know, are perverse and so on and so forth. They cheat and so on. So religious people are not known for their maturity. Y'all aware of that? We call them hypocrites. But they might not be hypocrites. They might truly be religious. They just haven't grown up. So God set up our nation, not as a monarchy, because in the Bible, it took God 2,500 years before his people came into being. And then when they did, he didn't give them a king. It's never been God's will to have a king. He always wanted to be the king. That's why America did it. They read that in the Old Testament, that when King Saul was about to be king, Samuel went to God and he said, God, they're trying to make a king. And he said, well, if they insist on it, I'll give them one. But I told them not to be like other nations. Other nations have kings, and that's a bad thing. For one thing, they'll take 10% of your income. You didn't see the humor of that. I mean, you read the Old Testament, you'll see that. You say, one horrible thing about a king, he'll take 10% of your income. Well, I think they're taking a little more now. So, wasn't a good idea. But anyway, so don't have a king. So God's never been into kings. He always wanted to be the king himself. Number two, aristocrats. You know, an aristocracy. So an aristocrat is not a single individual, but a small elite group. And a lot of governments in the world are, you know, sort of a small family of people that are the nobles or the well-to-dos, and they're kind of bred and born to it. And so they're the leaders because they're kind of a family of people. So it's not an individual running your government, it's a group of people, maybe the businessmen, a plutocracy, and so on. So that in Old England at one time, King John was put down by the nobles. So all the nobles kind of took over. So it became parliamentary, and particularly the House of Lords. So that was a noble group that had enough money that they didn't need to, you know, be corrupt in the government because they were all well-to-do. And so it's hard to set up a monarchy and keep it going. Most of the monarchies are gone now. There's very few, and I think Tibet had one, and then I think they just, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that guy fell. I don't know if you're aware of that. But they told him, either you step down from being king or we'll kill you. And he decided, let's see, there. Think about that. Okay, I was thinking of stepping down. I really was. Honest. So he stepped down. So now Tibet no longer, it has a democracy or something. It's near India. So it's trying to, maybe it's Nepal. It might be Nepal. I think it is Nepal. It doesn't matter. It's one of those little places that we never go to. So, you know, there you have the world altering and changing because monarchs are out. I mean, kings are losing their heads, chopping the heads off of the kings. So then you have an aristocracy, which is a group of, you know, smart guys or powerful guys that don't want the riffraff to rule, the common people. Then there are democracies. Now, a lot of people call us a democracy, but we're not. But most people think we're a democracy. Even our leaders all call us a democracy. But a democracy is just mob rule. A democracy just means the crowd, fickle crowd, you know, opinion poll crowd. They rule. So if America were a democracy, that would mean then majority rules and the minority, fooey on them, and individuals, too bad for you. Because the majority then dictates, and all you have to then have is a demagogue, that is somebody who manipulates those crowds. And that's why most of our politicians today are demagogues. They just simply make little sound bites and so on, and people get emotional. Oh, yeah, he's handsome, he's tall, let's vote for him. She's a woman, she's pretty, you know, let's vote for her, whatever. And so that there's no depth to any of it. Did you all know that? That's why people don't go to the polls. They're apathetic and they're cynical because they don't have any hope. It's kind of like, what's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican and an independent, and they're all corrupt and all crazy and all so on. Are you all with me so far? Now, what I'm explaining is not how things are. I'm explaining how things were meant to be, how they originally were set up and why they were set up based on the Bible, based on nature. Actually, it wasn't a Christian nation they were building. It was a natural law foundation. So natural law means that God, in nature, to all men, because government's for all men. You know, the church is only for us. It's only for those that want to be here. It's voluntary. But in the nation, it's everybody. You got all kinds of people all mixed together. So you have to have laws. So the first thing in any government are the laws. So you have to have laws. Now, are those laws just made up by men? Are those laws just made up by men? Or are they under God's law? So over here, you got the law of nature. I'll make a little piece of paper, but it's actually just the, you know, the law of nature written on everybody's heart. Everybody has a conscience and reason and kind of a sense of justice and so on. So that law, which is called the natural law, which then in England became the common law of men, is over our laws. So that's the first thing in a government. You have to have the legislative branch. The first and most important and principal part of any government, they're all not equal, is the legislative. The legislative is always the primary. That is, people making laws or rules, who makes them? The king? The aristocracy? The people? Whoever makes them. Like in ancient Greece, they called those democracies, all the people came into town, they all voted. How many want this? And so on. Aye. And then everybody, whoever the majority was, won. So a democracy always cheats out the individual and the minority. The minority never have a voice. So our nation wasn't a monarchy, it wasn't an aristocracy, it wasn't a democracy, but it was a republic of laws underneath God's law. So God's law doesn't mean Jesus. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. You know, it's not a republic of Christian laws. It's not a republic of the gospel. Okay? You're free to be here, but you can't dominate and take over. Neither God wants it, nor did the founders set it up that way. So it's a government. It's a government for all the people. Of the people, for the people, by the people. It's for all the people. And it's always for only one purpose, for any government. I don't care what government it is, what other form it is, whether it's a monarchy, aristocracy, democracy, or republic. It always is to protect the good guys. These are the good guys here, all these free people. In other words, you're free as long as you don't break any laws. And to beat up all the bad guys, to punish and threaten the bad guys. That's all. The whole point of the sword, I'll draw a little sword here. The whole point of this sword is to say no to these people, those are the bad guys, and you have to keep all the laws of this government right here. So these are civil laws, the civil society laws. Now these are religious laws over here, those are civil laws over there. These are social laws here, laws, laws, laws. So there's laws everywhere. And these guys are outside the law, and for a Christian, we feel that the other religions are outside God's law, but that's their business. So we don't have a sword to beat them up. I just preach. All I do is say, well, the other religion's wrong. You know, but I don't do anything about it. I don't go and beat them up or burn them down. Now, in some countries, they do. Because in some countries, if they were a Christian nation, we'd have to kill off or subordinate or make laws that punished everybody that wasn't a Christian or gave you a big incentive to want to be one. During the Middle Ages, you know, a lot of times the Christians, the Pope, right outside the Pope's little house there, he had a bunch of Jews living there. So he'd go out, and once a year, they'd bring all the Jews out. All right, all Jews out! You know, and they'd all come out of their little ghetto. We're going to tell you about Jesus now, and you have an opportunity here, you know. And so the Jews could actually convert right there and become Christians, get baptized that day and become Christians, and then they could join normal society. If not, back into your little ghetto. So once a year, they'd all traipse out, and you all want to love Jesus today? You know, you all want to be baptized? If you do, there's some goodies for you. If not, you're going to be punished. And so the Jewish people basically were punished. And they made secret deals under the table. But basically the Pope, by the way, made all kinds of secret deals under the table because the Jews had money. They always do. I don't know how they get that. But they always have little deals. And the Christians couldn't loan to one another at interest, so you just couldn't get a loan at all. Isn't that amazing? Because the Bible said something about usury, and so Christians couldn't do it. But the Jews would do it. Hey, look, you Christians need some money? I'll loan it to you, but it's going to cost you. And since they had a bad religion, the Pope could do it secretly. He could get loans from the Jews and then be in bondage to them. Do you all understand what I'm talking about? This is just history. This is just the way the world really works. So our founder said, let's have liberty, a sweet land of liberty, where everybody's free as long as they stay within the law. Now, if you as a Christian don't break the laws, no one's going to do anything to you. For example, you can come here and worship. Or you can take communion. You can love your neighbor. They don't have any laws for that. What they have a law for is saying, and these are all their laws, they're just negative laws. don't injure your neighbor. You know, don't break our laws right here, and none of them are positive. None of them say, love your neighbor. There's no law in America. That's why it's not a Christian nation. Couldn't be a Christian nation. It's impossible to be a Christian nation. There's never been a Christian nation, never could be a Christian nation. Do you know why? You're a Christian nation. The church is his nation. You are a royal priesthood and holy nation. So this is the only holy nation that God acknowledges, his church. This is the only holy nation that he'll ever acknowledge is Christians all over the world, whatever country they live in, that's his country. So God's country is a bunch of little churches all over the place that belong to him. You understand? So there can't be another nation. That is the holy nation. At one time it was Jewish. The Jews had a nation all of their own. They tried to reconstruct that when they made Israel, modern Israel. But it doesn't work. It's a secular nation. It's not religious. So what's a Jewish nation? You know, what's a Christian nation? It's nothing. God tried that experiment and it failed. You remember when he had, Moses set up the Christian nation and the holy thing, but it wasn't Christian, it was Jewish. But the same idea is everybody's going to be holy. And they just kept messing up. Remember that? They messed up. Every time God would say, I want you people to be holy. Now the other nations are watching you, they're looking at you, and be as holy as you can possibly be. And they were naughty. They married foreign wives. They took on other gods. They constantly blew God off. And God just was ticked off at that. He got angry and mad at that and said, I told you to be holy. Well, we're trying. And so y'all don't see the humor of this. God's experiment failed. So when Jesus came along, he didn't institute that. He set up a secular nation. So we're not a Christian nation. We're completely secular. And secular means, all secular means, it doesn't mean anti-God. Secular means of God. It means just simply of this world. Of this world. Anything of this world. Well, what's of this world? He said, this is not. My kingdom is not of this world. So only this is not of his world. Everything else, this, all of this world, and it'll all perish. So that's a religious issue. Jesus was a religious leader. How many know that Jesus is also the king? And he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And when he comes back, first time he didn't set this up, when he comes back, he will now take the world. He will take the kingdoms of this world and hand them to his Father. But that's not today. And we are the first fruits of that kingdom, right? What the rest of the world should look like is us. How many know that's a joke? In theory, we're to be a light to this world. Salt, preserving this world, a light, showing this world the way to go.
The fact that Jesus is going to come again, is there a reason for the timing?
Yes.
Is there a reason it's not yesterday, it's not today?
Yes.
It's going to be tomorrow?
Yeah. Great question. The reason why he, the first time, only came to set up his church, and not to fix the world at all, leave the world alone, totally leave the world alone. Wasn't interested in fixing it up. The reason why he did that and said, render unto Caesar, you Christians, render to Caesar. Everybody in the world, render to Caesar, is because when I come back, I'll take over. But I don't have any Christians right now. They're even born again. Second of all, they're not mature, so it's going to take some time to grow the little child who's born into a young man, into a mature adult. So we are not yet adult. So the time is to get us ready, and that's why we're here. That's why you're here. You're here not to get born again, though that's always good to have new babies, but you're here to get grown up so that you become mature in Christ, just like Jesus. Then he can set up his kingdom. With Christians then being the light, did you know that in the world to come you will be judged? You will judge the kingdoms of this world. Are you aware of that? That you're being trained, you're being set up, so that when the world looks at us, they'll say, oh, I should have been like you. Now, right now, we're not quite ready. We are not ready. I mean, it would be an embarrassment right now. The bride isn't ready. You know, it's like if the groom came in and said, my gosh, look at your hair. You know, it's all in curlers and, your dress is wrinkled and so on. Our dress isn't clean. But when Jesus comes back, he will come back for a bride without spot. It's not going to have dirt all over her dress. and without wrinkle. No one's been mussing it up and laying on it and so on. It's all clean, ironed out, ready to go. That is not the church today. So that's why there's a gap. And that's why we're still under all of this business. Otherwise, Jesus would set it up where this would be the only rule. Then we would be a Christian nation. Everybody would be under Jesus. He would be the king. But he hasn't done that yet. So when he comes back the second time, then he will take and say, okay, my bride's ready. He won't come back until we're ready. So since we're not there, it's my job, to make sure everybody here is not only born again, but discipled, disciplined, trained, matured, and now you're a leader. You're actually everything that God intended you to be. How many know we haven't gotten there? We're not there. You know, we still, some of us are still living a double life. You know, Christian on the outside, but pagan on the inside. Could I see a show of hands? I suspected that. I don't know why I suspected that. So it's okay, because God's got it all rigged. He's already promised he will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. So you don't have to worry about it. You'll make it. You will make it. But it may be a little tough because the iron is hot. And, you know, to get all those wrinkles out. And then the soap we have to use is, because you're kind of dirty on the inside as well as the outside, we have to use really hard soap, like lye soap. And so it may be hard. We have to scrub up people here to get them clean, 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 clean. But that takes time, doesn't it? Kind of like wash it again. No, they better put it in again until it's totally clean.
One more.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
But
yeah.
What about, say, I mean, we're 2,000 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like my grandfather.
Right, yeah.
Is that like the sins of the father? Is that the kind of
the
progression?
That is. But they're all right because, you know, God knew that it would take all this time, the first question that you asked, is that the church is not yet mature. The church is not yet ready. The early church was pure, but it wasn't mature. The early church was purer than we are. We have to go back to go forward. So they actually had it right. We have so gummed it up now, and we adjusted God to our own style. And so now we have to go back and get readjusted. But in these last days, now, so don't have to worry about the grandfather. He's all right. He did the best he could. He did all he was told to do. But it wasn't quite right. But that's okay, because he's getting in based upon the light he had. He didn't have any brighter light. Now, I just want to tell you something. The founding fathers actually had it right. They hit it right. Now, they knew they weren't perfect, but they weren't setting up a church. They were setting up a government. A civil government's not perfect. As a matter of fact, a civil government has nothing to do with anyone being perfect. It's just don't injure your neighbor. It's not love your neighbor. It's just don't do harm. If you do, we're going to punish you. You know, it might be a fine. It might go to jail. You might, be kicked out of the country or something, or we might kill you. But the point is, whatever we do to you, it's just all we ask you to do is don't harm your neighbor. That's it. That's all that civil government's all about, is don't do bad to the neighbor. And so the laws that we have are basically that, and the rest of it's just collecting money to run that thing, the revenue. Now, you have four duties that you owe to the government. Number one, fear. Number two, honor. Number three, taxes. Number four, taxes. I just wanted you to know that there's two words, foron, which is a custom, in other words, like a toll or a duty that you pay on goods. That's one thing you owe to the government. They get their little take on that. Might be a toll of a bridge, and might be, you know, a duty on a good, and so on and so forth. So that's business taxes and so on. Then the other tax is called a census, which is actually an annual tax, which is like the IRS collects. Okay, so that's once a year. The others are regular, you know, ongoing. You go on that road, you pay a little duty or a toll. You bring in a good from the outside, you have to pay duties on it and so on. That's the normal kind of, you know, toll. That's how they make their revenue, is off of the IRS kind of stuff and off of other little duties. So you owe those four things: fear, honor, what they call customs, and tribute. Those are the four things that you owe the government. Nothing more. You do those four things, you're free. You don't do those four things, you're not free. So as a Christian, God, not the world, God tells you to do those four things. Those are duties are yours to do, Romans 13. So you must do those. So render unto Caesar. Now, when you render unto Caesar, this is not said to the church. The church renders nothing to Caesar because it's separate. But an individual, I'll put the individual right here. Here's you, individual. Here's you as an individual. The individual has your religion side and also your civil side. So over here, no matter what your government is, here's your government right here. There has to be a legislative, there has to be an executive, there has to be a judicial. And that can be national, state, and local, municipal. But whatever kind of government, whatever form you make, if it's a republic, it's a republic. It can be a monarchy. It can be anything you want to be. But if so, if it's a monarchy, then the executive is everything. He's the legislative, he's the judicial, and so on, if he's an absolute monarch. If it's a democracy, then the people do it, and so on and so forth. So whatever form you pick, whatever kind of institution that's under these laws, those laws are always going to have to do with who does all this. And then the officers are the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch. These are the officers, local, state, you know, municipal. All these officers are the ones that actually execute the laws. They're the ones that take these laws according to these forms and execute them. So that's it. That's all of government. There's nothing more to government than what I just said. The only purpose of this government particularly was set up to secure your lives, your liberties, and your properties. Period. Period. Now, not as a group, but as individuals. All of you together. All of your properties, all of your lives, all of your liberties. And that's all government was to do. So it's not a communist thing, like you're all some kind of, you know, for the good of humanity or something. No, it's for my personal, private good. That's why free enterprise or businessman actually has a right to make a profit, but not in a communist country. Now, communists are liars, because actually in a communist country, all the communist leaders are businessmen. They just are. I've been to many communist countries, many. And I always want to do business with the king, with the ruler, whatever he's called, because he's a billionaire. In every case, he's always a billionaire. So communism is actually a great way to make wealth. You go into a communist country and, you know, with Samora Machel, who was the president of Mozambique, the guy was a billionaire. In fact, his wife married Graça Machel. She married, what's that guy? Mandela. Yeah, she's married to him now. So she's a pal of mine. I mean, I was the one, I worked with her when I first went there. Just everything negotiated with her. So government is set up to bless you, period, over, out. It's not set up to harm you unless you do bad. If you're a Christian and you shoot somebody, government's going to get you. It doesn't matter how Christian you are. You didn't shoot him as a Christian because Jesus doesn't go into shooting. He doesn't want you to kill your neighbor or hurt your neighbor. So as long as you obey the laws, you're free. If you break the laws, you're not free. That's all. That's all there's to it. You can have all the freedom you want as long as you don't break these laws. Now, all of these laws are for your good. They're never for your harm. There's no, the only one they're going to harm is the tyrant, the oppressor, the thief, the robber, the bad guy. So whether it's a government or whether it's an individual, anybody who breaks the law has to be punished. So that's all government was meant to do. So it's all for your good. By the way, God set that up. We didn't make that up. We borrowed that idea from God. God actually wants men to live in peace. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to do well. He wants you to give an account for what you've done. You owe him an account someday. So he set up the government to minister his wrath to anybody who breaks the law, but not to religious heretics. See, this is what would happen if you were in Iran or Iraq. They would punish you if you were a heretic. For example, if you became a Christian and you were a Muslim, your father would kill you. I actually know of such situations where someone became a Christian, then they went home and their father said, you know, you're a Christian, you're not a Muslim anymore, you're dead. And they were killed. Or if the daughter, married outside or whatever, then, you know, they're going to do harm to her because you don't break with them because they think laws are over religion. Civil laws have nothing to do with religion. That's why there's separation of church and state. Whenever you have joining, you're going to have persecution. Whenever you have one official religion, you're going to have persecution. So you have to not just tolerate other religions, but get out of the business totally. God never gave to Caesar, he never gave to Caesar any control over religion. Remember Pilate with Jesus? He said, you know, I could release you. And Jesus knew he hadn't broken any laws. And Pilate examined him and he said, you know what? I find no crime in him. The guy hasn't broken any laws. The Jews said he's a bad guy. But it's religion. I can tell they're just talking about religion, and Pilate wouldn't handle it until the Jews forced him to do it. They said, you know what, Pilate, if you don't kill this guy, because you won't let us kill him, if you don't kill this guy, we're going to see to it, we're going to throw a riot, and you'll get kicked out of your job. You want your job? You better do what we say, or we're going to tell Caesar on you. We have no friend but Caesar. He said, you want me to kill your king? We don't have any king. Caesar's our king. Isn't that neat? Sweet land of liberty, God is our king. But Pilate did not want to do it. He washed his hands 3 times. Remember how he did that? He said, I find no crime in him. I find no crime in him. I've examined him. I've looked at him carefully. I beat the snot out of the guy. Look at the guy. I did all of that to prove to you that guy's broken no laws. I don't even have a right to beat him. Now, I beat him just to keep you guys quiet, but obviously you want him dead. Okay, I'll kill him because you're going to threaten me. But now I'm going to break my own laws. So Pilate went out and killed himself after that. Are you aware of that? Pontius Pilate committed suicide right after that because his wife had come to him. It's not why he committed suicide, but his wife came to him and said, don't have anything to do with this man. He's righteous. And when you have a dream in the Roman world, if you have a dream and you're as a judge and you can't figure out which way to go and your wife comes in with a dream, that's the sign right there. And he knew that. He knew, uh-oh. If an earthquake happened, maybe Mount Vesuvius or something, then they knew, oh, that's a sign. And that made them then jump one side or the other. Well, he looked at Jesus and said, I don't find any crime in him. What is it they're wanting me to do? And the wife came in and said, don't touch this man. Leave him alone. Get away from him. And he said, sweetheart, look, this is my job. Get back in your bedroom there. And you know what? He couldn't handle it. Because when he stood before Jesus, Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Well, you're a king, right? Pilate was trying to get him on the king thing. You're a civil ruler. But Jesus wasn't this time. So he killed him unjustly. He was just a religious person. At that point, though Jesus was a king, and he even said that to him. He said, you know, yes, I have a kingdom, but it's not of this world. It's secular. Secular means of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. So the church is not part of the state. You all aware of that? So you and I have two citizenships. One, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's for the future. I mean, it's now, but we won't see the full power of that because we're not mature right now until later. We aren't ready yet. That's why he's waiting 2,000 years. The other is that I'm a citizen of this world right now. And in this world right now, I've got to pay my taxes. A lot of Christians feel, I'm a Christian. I don't have to pay taxes. Yes, you do. It's God's will that you pay taxes. In the Greek language, there's a word called apodidomai. Apodidomai means to give back or to render whatever you owe to somebody. Now, God appointed Caesar. Caesar's actually his minister. He's got me. I'm his minister over here on religion. But Caesar is his minister over here. And he's his minister. He said, I want you to pay taxes to my minister. So if I pay taxes to the government, I'm paying taxes to God. Because that's God's governor. That's why I fear him. That's why I honor him. I fear him for the office he's in. George Bush may be personally a criminal. But when he's in that office, and I haven't caught him with anything, I've got to honor him. And I've got to fear him, and I've got to pay my taxes. So I always do. I'm not trying to, you know, sneak around it. I don't mind paying, because I'm paying God. I owe him. Now, the fact that he takes a little too much, well, he'll have to answer to God someday for that. But I'm not worried about that. Whatever he asks for, I'm sure God will supply. I'm not worried about it. I'll have plenty, because I trust God. So I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf. I'll just tell him, well, I think you're taking too much, because I have a right to object. I object. Isn't this government for my benefit? Well, I'm not getting benefited. I'm paying you $100 for a $1 offer. You're giving me $1 worth of government. and I don't want the other 99 bucks. So I'd like to have that back. But right now we're having a tug of war. The people are not getting their way. If public opinion would shift, the government would yield, because this is a government of the people, for the people, by the people. So God set up our government, the laws, the institutions, and the offices. In other words, the kind of magistrates, rulers that we have, whether they're judges or whether they're lawmakers, legislators, or whether they're executives. And then you have bureaucrats, whatever they are. How many know that a bureaucrat's kind of a mindless thing? You know, so a bureaucrat isn't actually part of the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows for a bureaucrat. Bureaucrat's simply something that the legislative and the judicial and the executive all invented just to keep you away from them. Now we've accepted them. Tyranny. Total tyranny. Get rid of all the bureaucrats and you'll have a free government again. Tyranny is part of bureaucracy. So a bureaucrat is never responsible. If you tell him, well, what are you doing? You're not following the Constitution. He says, well, I'm just doing what the legislature told me. See, he has a way out. Then you go to the legislature and say, well, your servant isn't doing right. They go, well, he's just a wild person. I don't know. We appointed him to do it, but we don't have any control over him. Wait a minute. We're in control of you who are in control of him. Do what we say. And they say, well, they're actually doing us a good service, so we're just not messing with them. So a bureaucrat is kind of, you know, a person that is responsible to no one. Do you all understand? You didn't elect them. They're not subject to you. You can talk all day long to a bureaucrat. Well, I don't want to do thus and so. The only two things I've been told to do is A and B. Well, I want to C. Well, I don't do those. And you can talk all day long. That's just a person that's paid to do their job, and they don't really care if it's right or wrong. Well, that's not according to the Constitution. You're just talking in the wind. You all understand? Maybe you've never dealt with government. Government's totally unresponsive to you, even though it's of the people, for the people, by the people. There ain't any people. They don't even care about the people. Whatever the people say in all these political meetings you have, you say, well, we want this and we want that. They just ignore all that. Totally ignore it. They laugh at it. It's laughable. George Bush doesn't care, for example, what anybody thinks about immigration. He's got his own ideas and that's it. He doesn't care. He's not going to be reelected anyway. So you can't bribe him. You can't intimidate him. You can't frighten him. You can't shake him. He wants open borders. We want closed borders. So he's never going to yield to you. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care what you plan to do. So somebody has to get to him and tell him, look, you better go with the people on this. But the people are kind of silent, so he really won't have to, because the businessmen are telling him, yeah, I like the cheap labor. So keep it up. So it doesn't matter. No matter what you want to do, you better have a God. You better get your religion right first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. You know what the problem is? It's not the government out there. It's not George Bush's open policies, you know, globalism, no borders, Canada, Mexico, United States, all one country, all one sovereignty. Do you all understand all this? That's just purely a businessman's dream. It has nothing to do with the American people. It won't help you out at all. It's against the Constitution. It's against all natural law. It's against God. It's against everything. But it doesn't make any difference. That's the way it's going to be. Special interests now control. It's like an aristocracy of special interests. Now, all of that means nothing as a Christian. You're the problem, not the businessman, not the corrupt politician, the ambitious businessman. It's you. You haven't prayed. You haven't fasted. You didn't seek God. And God is punishing you by giving you these, you know, corrupt officials and greedy businessmen. God's not going to protect you because you didn't do what God said. Your first duty you owe to God. Remember he said, seek ye first. First means first. How many know that this is not good preaching? But it is, because the fault always lies with you. You and me, we're the leaders. We're the light. We're the salt. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? If the light is, you know, 15 water, it's not real bright. Hello, over here, can you read me? And so the world's looking at the church and it doesn't see the brightness. If it did, maybe the law would lessen over here. But we're not self-governing. We watch too much TV, eat too much ice cream. You know, we're just having too much fun. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, you make light of it. It's, we're just trying to have a good time down here. Well, I know, but what God wants is for you to give him his duty. Give him what he's due. Pay Caesar, but also pay God. Remember Jesus said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but unto God what belongs to God. What do you owe God? Forget what you owe Caesar. What do you owe God? Whatever you owe God, Caesar's not going to take. The only reason you're giving too much to Caesar is because you're not getting enough to God. I don't know if you understood what I just said. The only reason you're giving way too much to Caesar right now is because you didn't give it to God. It's powerful, but anyway, you'll think about that later. Now, what God wants is then, give him what he's due. What does God want from you? Does he want your money? He's not interested in your money. What does God want? Yeah, he wants a personal relationship, a love affair. He just wants you to know him and, you know him as Theos, not as Thios, the bad guy that's going to punish you for doing bad. He wants you to know him as Theos, your beloved. And we just don't want to. Give him the worship, the thanksgiving, the praise, the adoration that's due his name. How many know that we're not built that way? Most of us just want the money. Give us the money. Feed my flesh. Give me a good wife. I don't know if any of the women are praying for a good husband. I think you've all given up on that, right? give me a reliable man. Are you praying for that? No. You already know. You don't know too much about him to know. He's not reliable. But it's all right. Because you don't need your flesh taken care of. How many know that if you have God alone, you're happy? If you have God and you don't have anything else, you don't have a good wife, you don't have a good husband, you don't have a good job, you don't have a good anything, you don't need good health, you don't need any of that. What you need is God. This is God. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. We want to go get everything else and then anything left over, I'll give it to God. It's just the opposite of what God said. So it's our rebellion that has created all these problems. All the problems of government are not in the government. There's nothing wrong with the government. The government is just us. It's just a reflection of where we are. Now, you should have used your liberty, because this was a free country. You should have used your liberty to seek God and worship him. Thanksgiving. What a difference it would make if you were thankful. Now, I mean, I know your mind goes, yeah, I'm thankful. Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I mean, like, tell him, God, I thank you. And spend time talking to him. I thank you for creating me and then redeeming me and then, you know, giving me the Holy Spirit, blessing me. Pastor Jim, I just thank you so much. The last part I just threw in. But you know, you're not thankful enough for your husband, your wife, your children. You're not thankful enough for all the gifts God's given you. Number two, praise. To praise him, not for what he's done, but for who he is. He's holy, he's just, he's merciful, he's kind. He's, you know, you've got to praise him, and he likes to hear that. Like, hello. You know, it's like, I'm listening. And when you praise him, he loves it. It says that God dwells in the praises of his people. Amen. He's waiting for his people to praise him. And most of us are like, well, hallelujah. You know, or, you know, I know you're great or something. But, you know, it's not like too much. And he just loves us, you know, to be extravagant with him. And we're just not made that way, especially men. Guys are not like that. Now girls are a little better, you know, more moral and holy-ish. But guys are certainly not. You know, it's like we're into real things. But God wants guys to do it too. So God wants me to spend time, waste time talking to him, telling him how great he is. I don't know why. Does he have an ego problem? No, it's for your good. It's for your good to recognize his due. You owe him, epididymi. Epididymi doesn't mean render in the sense that you're giving something to somebody that doesn't deserve it, like Caesar. No, no, no. It means give back whatever's due to the person that it's owed. So when you pay your taxes, you actually owe that. Now, I just told you, I know that they don't give you as many benefits as you're paying for. So you're overpaying. How many know you're overpaying? Just take the Social Security, which never should be in any government. But just take that for example. You put all that money in, the government stole it. That's called mingling funds. They just took the fund from here, loaned it over here, and never paid it back. And that's just evil. Now, any normal person who did that in business would be caught. If you do that in business, and you're out. You cannot take funds that are dedicated to one thing and give it to another. But the government does it all the time. They do Ponzi schemes all the time. They do all kinds of things that are crooked and wrong and so on. Because you elected those people. Did you ever elect a politician and he said, you know, when I get into office, you can call me anytime and so on. And as soon as they get in, they don't hear you anymore. They're talking to Motorola or they're talking to, you know, some lobbyist or something. They don't talk to you anymore. That's why I just ran for office again and I won. So you can talk to me. But of course you can't get through the secretary.
No cell phone.
What? Can't hear you. The line is going dead. I've got lobbyists to talk to, you know. You see, God wants us to have a just government. And that's why I'm there. I'm there to be a light inside that dark place. You know, I don't curse the politicians and say, oh, they're all corrupt and no good. Well, you get in there then. You get in there and don't be corrupt and don't sell out. Take the punishment. Because they don't like that. They don't like that. But, you know, if they don't have a few honest people in there, the whole thing falls apart. If they don't have anyone that'll tell them the truth, if everyone's just, oh, yeah, anything George Bush does is good. You know, if they don't have anyone that's going to tell anybody the truth, oh, Governor Perry, everything you do is great. By the way, these are all friends of mine. They're people I know. I know them. You know, the Secretary of State, very close. Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, very close. These are people I know. I can call them up on the phone, talk to them. But that doesn't mean they're doing right. But I'm not bawling them out. I'm bawling myself out. Okay? We, the church, over here, are the key. If America was built for a pagan nation, it would never work. This was only built for a moral people and a religious people. All government that works is built on a moral and religious basis. Now, I didn't say it was a Christian nation. I just said moral and religious. In other words, just natural. The natural. Just the natural. The kind that everybody knows about. Theos. The kind of God that everybody knows about. So this nation was a gift of God to y'all. And, you know, other nations have been like that too. They were given by God, but then they corrupted. So we started out good. But we've fallen away. But it's, you know, from the very beginning there were already problems. But we haven't worked on it. Now, I love this nation just, you know, the way it is. I don't mind that it's corrupt and I don't it doesn't bother me. It bothers my wife, you know, she's look what they're doing. It's kinda like, it's okay, honey. It's okay. We're the problem. Don't worry about those bad guys. Let's us get our own lives right. Let's us govern ourselves. The more you govern yourself, the less you'll be governed. I'll say it again. The more you govern yourself, the less you'll be governed. Other people only govern you because you're ungovernable. But if you were governing yourself, then you wouldn't need a lot of laws. The reason why I have a lot of laws today is because there's a lot of lawbreakers because nobody's obeying the Lord over here. We should be producing people that are keeping the law, good citizens. I just told you your four duties. Now, no natural law will ever punish you unless you break one of those natural laws. The individual, the family, the church, and the state. No natural law. No spiritual law will punish you unless you sin against God, your first duty. So you're not going to be punished over here. The only punishment over here is going to be if you didn't believe in Jesus. If you're a Buddhist and you didn't believe that Jesus was the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Lord, then you'll be punished. Remember Jesus said, and when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict of sin because you believe not on Me. I didn't know that was the sin. I didn't know that was the only sin. I thought adultery was. I thought murder was. I thought stealing was. No, Jesus said the only sin, the only real sin, the only sin in the world is not believing on Jesus. How many know that's not what we think? I wouldn't think that was a big sin. Not believing on Jesus? Well, I was a Buddhist. I was raised up a pagan, you know. And God's saying, no, the only sin. Because over here on this side, it isn't how sincere you think you are. Over here on this side, you're judged totally by Jesus because He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the one that's going to come back and judge the world. When Jesus comes back, He will judge the world. But He's not going to judge the world this side over here on its civil. He'll do that too. But He's going to judge the world over here first, spiritual. What you should have found in your spiritual walk is that you couldn't do it. Right now, all over the world, over 100,000 people every day are coming to Jesus Christ. Everywhere in the world except here, Europe and America, two deadest spots on the face of the earth. everywhere else in the world. Go all over Africa, all over India, all over China, all over Asia, all over Russia, all over South America. Over 100,000 a day. Let me put it this way. Every week about 1 million people are coming to Jesus. That's changing the world. 1 million people a week being added to the kingdom of God. You have no idea. In this country, your news media will never tell you about any of those things that are happening. But every nation is being totally impacted across the world. Now, you can go to the... That's why I go. That's why I travel around the world. I go to all those nations to see firsthand what I just said to you. It's powerful. God is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And one of the reasons I like to go and why they want me to come is because I'm a teacher, not just a preacher. Most pastors are preachers. They just preach to you, inspire you, and so on. I'm not inspiring you or preaching to you. I'm teaching you. Is what God wants. What God wants is for us to be not only devoted to Him, first duty, but also rendering unto Caesar, second duty. We haven't done that. We haven't kept the laws of nature. We haven't kept the political laws. We haven't kept the religious laws. All kinds of laws here. But this law is not the law that says, if you don't do it, I'll send you to hell. The religious law is God wants you to love Him with all your heart and soul and strength because He's good. You owe that to Him because that's why you're free. It's just like my children. They don't have to love me because I need their love. They have to love me because that's good for them. I, in fact, do love them. But their love to me is something they owe to God, not to me. I birthed them. If nothing more, I birthed them. I birthed them. I know that doesn't sound like a lot. But I actually did a few more things. I fed them, clothed them, gave them a bedroom, and so on and so forth. So I've blessed them quite a bit. Not only that, I taught them about the Lord. Not only that, I love my wife. Not only that. So I actually did good as a parent. Of course, they're not here to dispute that. But I was actually a good father. My children never rebelled. I have four children. They never rebelled, none of them. They love each other to this day. They love us. It's great. It's great to have a family. How many have families? I mean, it's great to have a family where you were raised in such a way that you were blessed. That's part of nature. This part of nature right here. This is something all men know about. Everybody has families. Everybody, you know, has some kind of religion. Everybody. Well, God's going to judge you on that. But this won't save you. This saves you. This simply will make you happy here. And this simply will keep them from throwing you to jail or, you know, doing something else. So you are in a sweet land of liberty. Take the nation back if you want it. If you don't want it, you don't have to. But as a Christian, I just want to tell you, you have a duty to God. You should obey the political laws, the social and natural laws. You should also obey God's religious law, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made you free. In other words, that's why you're free. Because you're actually voluntarily saying, you know, God, I owe you worship, but I don't want to owe it to you. I want to give it to you because I love you. You give me so many benefits, I can't even pay you back. As a matter of fact, God doesn't want anything except thank you for giving you everything. Doesn't want you to give Him anything. What you're giving to Him is just thank you for giving me everything. I'm not giving Him anything. I'm just thanking Him for giving me everything. He created me. That's nature. He redeemed me. And He also gave me a good government. He gave me everything. Everything He gave me. Good wife, good everything. Everything in my life is just too much. Are you blessed like I am? Let's have a testimony. Who's blessed like I am? Just incredibly blessed. I mean, you just... so blessed you can't imagine. Something you could give thanks for, you could praise Him for, you could worship Him for. David.
My year ended last Friday. The Lord asked me to give Him a year to seek His face, and it ended last Friday. What God has showed me this year is exactly what you're saying. He wants us to seek Him, to praise Him, constantly come before Him, because He says, enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my presence with praise.
Amen.
And the minute you enter in, the minute you say thank you, you're into His gates.
Amen.
There is no other process. And the minute you say praise God, you are in His presence.
Amen.
Therefore, you can live 24 hours a day in His presence by constantly giving Him thanks. David wrote, I give you, God, only what you have given me.
Right.
The reason we can love God and praise God is because God has chosen us to put that in our heart for him.
Amen.
Of all the people in the whole world, that is the most tender spot with me and God, is that he chose me.
Amen.
To love him. But he gave it to me first because I know who I am. I am an evil person. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat.
Amen to that. Amen.
No. Talk to the IRS. Stand up.
All right.
God told
That's good.
Me to get, that's how it all came about.
Amen.
I was cheating the IRS. And one day God says, it's enough. Go back and amend your income tax. I said, what? He said, yeah, I want you to go amend the times that you cheated them. I went back and amended 3 years worth of statements. And they said, that's what I want from you. I want you to walk with me in truth. Because when you walk in me in truth, then you can walk in me with your spirit.
That's good.
And
all right,
so,
it's powerful.
And so God has shown me that he has given me the desire. He's given every one of us the desire. It's when we want something else outside of him that we're drawn away by our lusts.
Yeah, it's good, Dave. Who else? Who else? God has blessed you. Luke.
You know, if I lived in a third world country, I'd be in a hut, my children looking after me. I'd be old and thrown away. And I praise God for a country where we're free to continue to thrive, to be God's people.
Amen.
To love one another, to have that freedom.
Mm.
It is a freedom, and so often, I take it for granted and just go on trucking down the road. But when I look at this body of believers and I look at people's hearts that I know in here and how they seek God and love God and to have you as a teacher, to be able to have Eric's mom come from South Africa, clear around the world, be free.
Amen.
To come here and to see her son thrive and do well.
Amen.
And love God. What greater blessings do we have?
Yep.
As
powerful.
Mothers, as citizens.
Yeah. It's not everywhere in the world.
No.
It's not everywhere in the world. It's very hard to look around and see it. Who else? One more. Who else? Going once. Going twice.
About it. It's like for me the greatest blessing is just that I'm born again and that I can commune with Jesus by his spirit in my spirit. It's just that that I can grow in knowing him and that that he lives inside me and that we walk everywhere together.
Amen.
By his spirit. That's incredible.
Hmm.
It's incredible just that that we have access to him. It's the indwelling of his spirit in us and that communion
right.
that we have with him within our spirit so that we can grow in a greater way of seeing beyond the veil of the flesh to get a greater glimpse of how awesome he is.
Right.
That is incredible.
Amen. Everything that's here that I drew out is all for the sake of this right here. The only reason the world's even alive today, the only reason it's existing today is for the church to finish. We're just not finished. We started, we've been regenerated, and then we're growing now, beginning to get the sin out of our lives, beginning, and we're not yet mature. But everything is waiting for the maturity of the bride. As soon as the bride is mature, Jesus comes back. As soon as the bride is mature, he comes back. And that's the whole reason there's a civil government out there. It's just to keep things in line, roughly speaking, until we're done. It's just to protect us. The reason why our government was set up is to protect a Christian. You can worship God according to the dictates of your own conscience. You can worship any way you want to. The only reason that was set up was for the church. It wasn't set up by a Hindu or a Buddhist. They wouldn't have set it up this way. So it isn't just any old religion. It's because of this particular religion. That's why everything was set up the way it was. That's
and
why it's...
they rule, there's oppression.
Yeah.
And there is tyranny.
Everywhere.
And there's punishment.
Everywhere.
And there is nothing that's free. We can look at DARPA We can look at any of the countries where the Muslims rule. There's persecution.
It's terrible. And the whole world, if you think you're going to escape this or kill off all the terrorists, you're wrong. The whole world is crazy. So it's light versus darkness. It's free versus slave. I'm just telling you, South Africa, you know, is in trouble. You cannot redeem it quickly. You can't bring it back. It was once, a garden, but it's no longer. It's a nightmare. And Zimbabwe, I mean, used to be the breadbasket of Africa, black Africa particularly. It's nothing now. It's shot. Because men make bad decisions. But it's the church that God's after. It's the church. It's his bride. I hope you were blessed today. Our nation was founded in such a way to set you free. But if you've used your freedom just to buy more cars and look at more TV and have more girlfriends, you misused it. It was the freedom to do right, the freedom to know the Lord, the freedom to love him, not to just collect a lot of dough. How many know that collecting a lot of dough doesn't help? You can look around at the people that have collected a lot of dough. It's not the deal. They don't have good lives. They lose too much. At first it looks like, yeah, this is exciting, especially for guys. And then for the girl, it gets suspended. I mean, that's nice. But, you know, in the end, that's not the most valuable thing. You've got to find out what is the most valuable thing in your life. God says it clearly. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. I want to know you. I want to spend time with you. I want you to spend extravagant, wasteful time with me. Pretty soon this whole thing will be over. And all of a sudden, everyone's eyes will be open. Like, whoa, I didn't know that. But everybody knew it. Everybody actually knew that was what it was all about. Get to know the Lord, fall in love with him, follow him. So I'm glad I'm free, but I'm free not to break the law. I'm free to obey all of God's laws, spiritual laws, political laws, natural laws, social laws, all the laws. Whatever the laws are, I want to obey them. And the more I mature, the more laws I come under, it's not at all harmful to me. It's not at all burdensome for me. It's actually a joy. And it's good for my kids, and it's good for the rest of the nation, and it's good for the Muslims. It's good for everybody if we win. It's not good if they win. It's very good if we win. The truth will set us free. All right. God is good. Chad, close in prayer. Well, just this portion.
Yeah, right. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you're good to us. Thank you. You're a benevolent ruler. And thank you for the freedoms you've given to us in this country that we don't even, like Lou said, we walk out the door and take them for granted every day. But you have blessed us. You have given us freedom to move about. You've given us freedom to be with our families, freedom to believe what we want, buy what we want, be with whom we want. Lord, your kindness. I just pray you open our eyes to see that what we have every day, your mercies are showered on us.
Yes, Lord.
So we're thankful, Lord, that you're our King. Thank you that we can not only have a nation that at least had its birth in you, but we also have we're part of a holy nation birthed by you.
Amen.
And thank you that we're part of your kingdom.
Yes.
And that's the greatest blessing we can be yours. So, Lord, we praise you. And we say you are great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I love you all. You have a blessed day. Don't shoot any fireworks off.
We're going to spend a few minutes worshiping together, and if a couple of guys would pass the offering plates there. If you don't get the offering plates, they'll be back here on a table. We also have a need for a couple of people. Could I have your attention just a moment? We have a need for a couple of people to help Rod and Michelle Kennedy on July the 4th for a short time to transfer some. They're moving down here from Colorado. Rod will be directing the Charis Bible Church sponsored by Andrew Womack Ministries, and he needs a couple of guys to help him move some stuff into a storage facility on July 4th. That's not a good time for most people, but if you happen to be free for a couple hours or so and could give him a hand, would you please see me, and I will give you his cell number, and you can coordinate with him. He asked me to make this announcement. Thank you.
All right. For those who want to talk, we ask you to go out there because we're going to have some time of worship here.